114 in your hymn book, if you'll get it right quick. 114. Let's stand together and help Brother Tim sing as he leads us, alright? Alright, 114. Tell it to Jesus. Everybody gonna have to help us out tonight. Let's stand together and sing. Alright, sing out now. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is the friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Friend that's well known. You know such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. He's no other than such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. A beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for being here. We've got some folks out of town. Miss Mary Ward is with her daughters in Georgia. Today would have been her husband's wedding anniversary, so they just won't spend time together. And then Brian and Bethany are in Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg for a few days till Saturday. Went out of town, so pray for them while they're gone. But we're glad you're here. We've got some more folks coming in, so that's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the service. And Brother Joaquin, how about lead us in prayer, please? Good to have Rebecca back. Rebecca's back for her final year of law school and started yesterday. So she's already into the thick of it. And we're glad to have Rebecca back. We kind of count her like one of ours. But we sure appreciate she's been so good about being here. She'll be singing for us throughout the year, as you know. And we enjoy her being here with us. And then good to have Jimmy's mother and dad. And so I'm going to assume that Jimmy's singing tonight, because whenever he sings, they come and hear him sing. That's all right. And so we're glad to have Mr. and Ms. Peterson here with us, and we're just glad to have all of you back in the service tonight. Just to have a whole lot of announcements really for this week, because don't have anything going on. They had the Rusty Anchor meeting yesterday. Everything went well, and already got making plans for next month, so we're glad for that. And then, of course, had a good time Sunday with the back school Sunday and the Sunday night service. I'll be preaching my last message tonight on stewardship. Only it's not even going to be a stewardship text. You'll probably wonder, but I believe once we get into it, you'll understand. But anyway, the Lord's been good to us all this month with our stewardship, and the giving has been good this month. But we just remember, it's not just one month out of the year. We want you to give the way you should every month of the year. And so I hope that you'll do that. Thank you so much. Don't forget about the gospel tracts. I don't know what number we're at right now. Do we have any kind of what? And if that's all right, well, you got it. All right. All right, 6339, and we should be where? This is the eighth month, so 8,000. Yes, we're about 1600 and so away. We got to get caught up, folks. And I know folks have been giving tracks out a little bit better, but of course we're trying to make up for the month of January as well. So that's why the big number, the 1,000, because every month is 1,000. And but we can still do it. We got to get busy. You know, now school's back in, so many places. I'm telling you, if we could have been at Williams-Brice last night, we could have gave out tracts. I'm telling you. And really, I hope that during the ball season, we can go down there. We can get take the young people, just go down there, pick you a spot and hand out tracts. I guarantee you give out a bunch. But we got ways to do it. We got fairs coming up, the state fair and the county, that little fair they have over at Sparkleberry, and all kinds of opportunities to give out tracts. So I hope you get them back there, take them with you, and let's give them out to those that need the gospel, all right? And then, of course, we'll be right back here on Sunday. Don't forget about that. For Sunday school at 9:30. Our Sunday school's the attendance has been up a little, but it could be more. If you're not coming to Sunday school, you need to come. You need to try it. I know it's an hour earlier to come to church, but don't you think God's worth an extra hour? I think He is. And so get up and get ready. Come on to Sunday school and at 9:30. And then, of course, the service will be at 10:30. All right. And this coming Sunday, Brother Robbie Smith is going to be here with us. Brother Robbie's been on the mission field in Brazil for many, many years. His sister is married to Brother Griffith, Steve Griffith, who pastors at Cowpens Mountain View. In Cowpens, great church. Brother Jimmy Robbins started that church and pastored there for probably 45 years, I guess, before he retired. And but Brother Robbie's a great feller. He plays the piano and sings, and he's a good. You'll enjoy him. I don't usually give up Sunday mornings, but he'd already been booked Sunday night and was going to be in the area anyway. And we love Brother Robbie. We used to support them a few years ago, and he is now a director, one of the directors in the mission board that he's with at Tabernacle, at Prayer Baptist Missions, I believe it is. Is that right, Susan? I think that's right. And he's kind of the Brazilian director. Brazil is such a big country. He spent many years down there. He and his wife will be with us Sunday morning. You'll enjoy Brother Robbie. He's from the upstate. He's just a country feller that went on the mission field. So anyway, you will look forward to having him come Sunday. Okay. Any prayer requests anybody has that you'd like to mention real quickly? Anybody got anything? All right. Yes. Yep. Renee's not feeling well, so pray for her. No, I didn't actually. Okay. I was wondering where Miss Bobby was, so that's what I didn't know. All right, so pray for them. They're both not feeling well. All right, anybody else? Important meeting. All right, so pray with your job. So pray for Shelton. And good to see Sonny here tonight. He seems to be doing pretty well physically, and good to see him here. Brother Joe? Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Good praise report right there. Yes, sir. All right. Yeah, we got to pray for they don't want to be truant, do they? He said, whatever that means, you don't want to be that. So. And grandma and Nana, make sure you're not too, huh? Isn't that right, Nana? All right. Yes, ma'am. All right, so pray for Ms. Watts. The house that still has not sold, and it's been on the market now for a little while, and she's really, I'm sure, probably stressing a little bit about that. So pray for them as they're trying to downsize a little bit, okay? Yes, sir. And so she's really been stressing about that, too, because it's been put off a time or two. I mean, the folks are still buying it. I guess they finally got all the financial stuff worked out, insurance and all that sort of thing. So she'll be closing on it this coming week. So that'll be a good answer to prayer for her. Miss Ward, some of you may not know, but her husband pastored three churches down in Florida. Independent Baptist Church started two of them, and had some preachers down there that many of us remember, like Billy Kelly used to preach down there in meetings for him, and some others, and some men that I know from over the years. So we had lunch with her Friday, and had such a good time. And got to know a little bit more about her. Her husband was an independent Baptist preacher, and the churches are still going down there. They're in small works, but still going. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, their son-in-law pastoring one of them, or somebody in the family, I think she told us. Anyway, the ministry is prominent in her family. And Miss Mary, she just, you can tell that she's got a heart for smaller works. And everybody can't have one that runs 1,000. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't want to, But, you know, God, I'm glad God puts the little ones out there too. Amen. And so we love Miss Mary. She's going to be a real asset here. Of course, she's trying to determine the Lord's will and direction where she needs to go. She's got a daughter in Georgia. She's got one here. And of course, her life was in Florida. I think she's got a daughter or son down there, somebody down in Florida. Huh? Yeah, down in Beaufort, down where Brother Rice was from. And so she's even considered maybe if the Lord leads her down that way. So I hope she'll stay here because we'd sure love to have her be part of our church. She's a great lady. And so anyway, you pray for that house situation too, along with Ms. Wass. All right, anybody else before we have another song? All right, so continue to pray for Brother Johnny. He's recovering from surgery. All right, so let's remember this lady upstairs, a neighbor of Brenda. Somebody else have a hand? Yes, sir. All right, unspoken. All right. Anybody else? All right, real quickly before we sing, let's just bow our heads together. Father, we love you, and we are praying for these special requests, many of them, Lord, so many. Lord, I'm glad you know all about them. So many times as God's people, we tell folks that we'll pray for them, and then we just don't. We get involved in something else, we forget. But Lord, when we do this, and this is prayer meeting, and so, Lord, at the end of the service, we want to have some altar time. But Father, we do pray for all of these requests, Ms. Wass and Ms. Mary about their house selling. Of course, Ms. Wass needs the Lord. And to pray for that family there, Brenda's mother, and then the upstairs neighbor that Brenda spoke about, Lord, not only the physical situation, but her spiritual condition as well. And Lord, the unspoken requests, other requests that have been made, we certainly want to remember all of those. And Lord, I wish I could remember all the names, but I'm glad, God, those names are not new to you. And you know all about them. And so I certainly pray, God, for each and every one, for those that are not feeling well, Miss Bobby and Miss Ramona, those that are traveling, Lord, on vacation or just out of town for a few days, give them a good restful time, bring them back safely. And certainly, again, we pray for our students and our parents. School has started back up in earnest now. Good to have Rebecca back with us. Lord bless her in her final year of law school. And God, we're thankful that she's able to be back here with us just for a while. And so Lord bless her while she's in her studies. And Lord, we love you and thank you for all you do. Bless the remainder of the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Tim.
All right, number 335. Let's stand together and we'll sing the first and last showers of blessing. 335. All right. Well, play that again, Steve. Give him a chance to find it. Sing out now.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
All right, let's enjoy a little time.
All right, thank you so much. Find our seat. We'll continue on. I told you now school started. We want to get done around 8 o'clock or pretty close to it. So everybody get home, get the children home, get them ready for school and bed and all that. So we want to kind of move ahead a little bit here. We'll pretend we're on the radio and we've got a time constraint. All right. But we never want to get so wrapped up in that we lose sight of the Holy Ghost and what He might do. So, but I still think that, you know, the Bible said do everything decent and in order, and so we're going to try to do that. We're still, by the way, we're still not able to use our live stream. The router, what's that storm that came through, apparently just knocked it out. I mean, it won't even turn on. So we'll have Time Warner come out and bring us another one tomorrow, Friday. So by Sunday, we hope to have all of that back up again because we've actually heard from some folks, where's the live stream? And so somebody must be enjoying it. So we'll try to have that thing back up and running come Sunday, okay? All right, come on, ushers. Let's take care of the evening offering this evening. Yeah, come on, Brother John. Help out there if you would. And appreciate the way you've been giving. Our missions offering for this week was like $440, I think it was, wasn't it? That's pretty good. Praise God. So we appreciate that very much. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother John, how about pray for the offering, would you?
Thank you for that. Well, right before Pastor comes tonight, Brother Jimmy coming to sing for us.
I sung this song a few months ago, and I tell you, the Lord has put it on my heart a couple of weeks ago. Next time, opportunity I got to sing this song, and I tell you, the Lord's been so good to me, and I could go on and on, but I tell you, I'd rather sing for Jesus than sing for the world. So listen to this song, and let it bless you one more time.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand, than to be the King of vast domain, or be held in sin's dreadful way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything the world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I would rather be faithful to His dear cause. I would rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. For He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom, and He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all the my hunger and spirit needs. I would rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the King of vast domain, or be held in sin's dreadful way. I would rather have Jesus than anything the world affords today. This world affords today.
Jimmy, for that. We love Jimmy and Jenny around
right
here. Thank you for that. Get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
All right. Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, Brother Jimmy, for that good song. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. All right, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Now, we all know that the principle of tithing began with Abraham when he was Abram. So here we are in Genesis 22, but we're not talking about tithing or giving, although the story that we're reading is familiar. It is the story, and it is a picture, it's an Old Testament picture of God giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And we know the story of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, and that's the text we're going to read. But rather than look at it from Isaac's perspective, as the son who is given, I want to look at Abraham's perspective as the one who is doing the giving. Now again, this is not a text that may be used for stewardship, but certainly I think the principle here applies, because I want to preach a little while on the mountain of absolute surrender. The mountain of absolute surrender. We sing a song, "All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give." Now, is that just words? Or do we really mean that? You know, I think one of the things that we miss, Brother Tim, in a lot of congregational music, for example, is, you know, most of us have grown up with all of these songs to where we can sing them by heart. Many times in the old Red Book, songs come up, and I remember what page they were on. Brother Tim can say, "Page so-and-so," and I'll know what song it is just because of repetition. Now, the problem is that we get so wrapped up in remembering the page number and the tune that we forget about the words. And see, that's the great thing about Christian music. If it's really Christian, it'll have words that will honor Christ. And we miss that sometimes. We just stand up and start singing. And we sing through it, you know, and sing first, second, and last, like all good Baptists do. Now, Brother Tim, he'll mess it up. He'll throw in verse 3 and skip verse 2. You got to watch him. I'm telling you, you'll be singing the wrong verse. You'll get halfway through and realize you're singing a solo because you're singing the wrong verse. And a lot of churches, a lot of fellows, they'll sing every verse of the song. And I think that's good, too. I don't have any problem with that. Because we treat it that way. Well, here's a very well-known passage. Most people who have been in church any length of time will recognize and can probably paraphrase telling the story. So I want to look at verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse 14, which is the basis for the story and the scripture. Let's stand if we can, please, if you're able to stand, and we'll read 14 verses, not a lot of verses tonight, and then we'll pray. "And it came to pass after these things." Now, when you see in Scripture "after these things," something happened before that. And what happened before that was Abraham in a place called Beersheba, where Abimelech, the king there, you know the story, how that they tried to take advantage of Abraham and take advantage of Hagar and not Hagar, but the sons and their daughters, and it just wound up being a mess. And Abraham and his sons responded to those people in the town there. And, of course, Abimelech did not know about it. In fact, he says in verse 26, "I wot not who have done this thing." In other words, his son had actually taken advantage of a Jewish girl, an Israeli, a Hebrew girl. And the king didn't know about it. And Abraham and his sons and all that crowd went in there, boy, and took care of those men. I mean, all of them, took care of all of them because of it. And, of course, the king didn't know about it. So these things happened. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba. They made peace. Now, the Bible said after these things, once Abraham got past this bump in the road. Anybody here ever had a bump in the road? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, isn't it amazing that when that happens, then suddenly God starts working in your life? And that's what happens here. Let's read it. "After these things, that God did tempt Abraham." Please understand the word tempt there is not tempting with evil, but testing. He is testing Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So far, so good. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there. Uh-oh. Well, boy, this took a bad turn, didn't it? And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, I want you to notice up real quickly, and I don't want you to stand too long, but notice number one, God told Abraham to do something that I think Abraham already recognized he would not have to do. Because God never accepts human sacrifice, except for his son. The second thing, obviously, Abraham, who by faith is doing this, and most of us would argue with God. We'd argue immediately. God, I don't want to do that. My only son. But notice he said, we'll go up and we will come back. Now that's faith, isn't it? Amen? All right. Well, and again, this is all simple stuff here. I know, but I'm going somewhere with this. He said, Abraham, verse 6, took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, again, showing faith in God, that God would intercede. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now Isaac is beginning to wonder, hey, what am I doing up here? All right. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and there's no question he would have. But remember now, he's believing that they're going to go back together alive. He knew that God never instructed man to give human sacrifice because the only human sacrifice that could possibly do any good at all would be Jesus Christ. And notice how God responds. And the angel of the Lord, which is God in the flesh, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Understand that Abraham's got the knife and in the process of plunging it. But I think God stopped him because he knew in his heart that he would have done it. You remember, the Bible said man looks on the outside. We see this story and we say, Abraham, I cannot believe he was really going to do it. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And God knew he would do it. So he stopped him before he did it. Let's read on. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Father, bless your word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, you can be seated. We've got just about 20 minutes or so. I want to have some altar time before we go home. And so I want to give you some thoughts from Abraham's perspective on the mountain of absolute surrender. Now, we've been talking all month about stewardship. And one of the major principles of stewardship is not the idea of giving money. It is the principle of giving yourself and whatever comes with you. Whether it's your time, your talent, your tithe, your things, if it's an offering. In other words, you're not giving somebody else's, you're giving your own. And when it comes time to give yourself, A husband cannot give his wife to the Lord to serve him. And the wife doesn't give the husband, and the parents don't give the children. Each one of us must give ourselves to the Lord. If we're going to be a good steward, and I've heard it this way all my life, and it's true. If you're going to be a good leader, you have to learn to be a good follower. Abraham was the father of Israel. And yet here we find him practicing following. He knew, God told him, he said, your seed will be as the stars in the sky, as the sands of the sea. Now Abraham could have said, now Lord, you know, now that I've got your promise, me and you go ahead and talk about this giving Isaac business. But he didn't. He so appreciated God in his life until he was willing to follow him, to do whatever he said. That is the question this month and throughout your Christian life, not just in this month, but throughout your life. Are you willing to give God everything? And of course, in Abraham's mind, Isaac was everything. Now, the Bible said that God told him to give his only son, Isaac. But Isaac was not his only son. He had another son named Ishmael. But Isaac was the son of the promise. Amen? Now remember, God is using a human situation to bring about a spiritual picture. He's using Abraham and Isaac as a picture of God giving Christ on the cross. But that's where it stops. Because there are circumstances in Abraham's life where Abraham had another son. God only has one. The world will tell you that he's got several. And they'll even try to name them. These other religions and cults will tell you that the leader of their cult is somehow a son of God. He's only got one. Now, we're sons of God and daughters through adoption. But we are not sons of God in creation. There's only one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So everything about this story ends in the human realm as a picture. But then when Christ came, we find the complete and total perfect fulfillment of this story. But here, I want us to look now, think about this mountain of absolute surrender that Abraham finds himself, and the question to you, are you willing to give, not only in the month of August as stewardship month, but how about next month? How about in December? How about next March? How about in the next dog days of summer next year? How about tomorrow? Are we willing to give ourselves totally to Him? So let's look at this story here because we notice that Abraham, from his perspective, he recognized that in his life that God will make demands of us. As a Christian, you must understand that God certainly blesses. God certainly will give us exceeding great and precious promises, and He'll supply our need and all. But there's going to be times, folks, if you're really serious about being a good steward and surrendering your life, He's going to make demands on you. Because He wants to find out if you're really what you say you are. You know, Abraham taking Isaac and the servants and making the trip to Moriah is one thing. Abraham claving the wood and tying it together and putting it upon the back of Isaac, a type of the cross, as Isaac carried the wood of his sacrifice up Mount Moriah. And by the way, you study Mount Moriah. The same Mount Moriah you're reading about here is Mount Calvary in the New Testament. It's the same place. The exact same mountain. So all of these things are tied together. And you think, man, what a picture of Jesus. But always remember, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We know the perspective of Christ, but what about God's perspective as He's looking down on all of this? Here's Abraham, who is just simply giving his best. And he knows that God has made a demand upon him, that number one, and think about this in your own life, when God makes demands upon you, tempts you or tests you, number one, it's going to be personal. God is never going to test you with somebody else's faith. God's never going to test you with somebody else's circumstance. When he tests you, when he makes demands upon you, it will be a personal procedure. He's coming to you. When God gave this command, did he give it to the servants? Did he give it to Sarah? Did he give it to Isaac? Isaac didn't even know what was going on until he got there. He gave it to Abraham. Abraham was the one who had to respond to the demand. So it's a personal demand. Number two, sometimes God's demands can be a bit perplexing. What I mean by that is, really? God, is that really? I mean, can you imagine what Abraham must have thought? Really? You want me to put, and if I put, now listen, God did not tell him to take a knife and slay him in his instruction. He said, take Isaac up there and offer him as a burnt offering. Well, Abraham immediately knows that if he puts his boy up on that altar of fire, he knows what's going to happen. But remember, the picture of Christ dying was blood sacrifice. And so Abraham brings out the knife that he would have used to offer any lamb under any circumstance. But the point is that, can you imagine Abraham as he is sliding that sacrificing knife into the sheath on his belt? And there's Isaac waking up early in the morning. And you know, just to kind of want, you know, Dad said we're going somewhere. I'm not sure where. And he's waking up, and man, you know, he's kind of rubbing his eyes and saying, "Okay, Dad, where are we going? It's kind of early. Where are we headed to?" And imagine Abraham as he said, "Now, Isaac, don't ask. I'll let you know when we get there." So no doubt the journey, Abraham in his human mind has said, "Really, God? Do I have to do this?" You say, well, then that shows a lack of faith. Hold it one second. Before you come to that conclusion, do you remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? And remember who Jesus was, the Son of God? And remember what he said? If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. The human side was perplexed suddenly at what he was having to do. But then the divine side said, but I have to. And so there's no question, we'll go on. Abraham's human side said, really, God? But the faith side said, but I got to do whatever God said. He's been good to me so far. And so when God comes to you and me with a demand, surely it's natural in the human side to say, really, God? Really? But if you're really where you need to be with God and totally surrendered to God, all to Jesus I surrender, then the side of you that God is in control of will say, but I'm going to anyway. Most people stop right at the really, God? And then they try to bargain with God. You know, God, I don't mind doing anything but that. I'm telling you, when you put God on a spot like that, he's going for the that. Now, Abraham didn't put God on the spot. Abraham, I don't believe, ever argued the first time. But God gave him something that was personal, and no doubt in his mind, in his fleshly mind, perplexing. But then he recognized when he told his servants, the lad and I are coming back. All of a sudden he realized how profound this situation was going to be. And Abraham made up his mind, I'm going to do it if I have to kill him, because I know that the God who's personal to me is going to let me come back, because suddenly the promise kicked in. Abraham, your seed will be as the sands of the sea, and if Isaac dies, the promise is broken. And God has never broken a promise. Abraham recognized that. You know, how many times Or what does God have to do in our life where we come to the realization that He's not going to go against us? Are you with me? If God's got something for you, why argue? Has He ever gone against you? Now, if you're disobedient and you're, you know, in sin, well, certainly He'll be against you. Until you get it right, and then everything's good again, isn't it? Then the fellowship's restored, and He's not against you. Never. Even when He punishes us, He's not against us. He just wants us to be right. Abraham recognized, God's not against me. Listen, I had a baby boy when I was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. And she'd been barren her whole life. And God gave us a boy. Why would God go to all that trouble to take him away? Why would God be so good to you? Has God been good to you tonight? Amen. Why would God be so that good to you and then just take it all away? Unless there's sin, unless there's a problem. And even then, I don't think He'd take it all away. But He'll surely get personal with us. You know, when my son did something wrong, I didn't spank my daughter. Although he probably wish I had it, and vice versa. But that's not the way it works. When God deals with us, He deals with us personally. And sometimes it can be a little perplexing. Well, God, I don't really understand it, but You've been good to me all these years. I got a call today from a man. He and his wife had decided to go on the mission field all of a sudden. Is it Iger? What's that lady's name that comes to the ladies' meeting? No. It's he says his name, Iger, or yeah. Okay. Anyway, she's come to our ladies' meeting for years and years and years. Well, and they're probably in their 40s, I guess, probably maybe. I'm not sure, and I'd hate to take a stab at it. But her husband called me tonight. Said, I don't know if you know me. Oh, yeah, I remember the name. I know your wife well. She's been to our meetings. Said, we've been praying, and we've decided we're going to go on the mission field. And he said they're going to the Bahamas to help plant churches down there. And he said we just started. Said, we've had one meeting so far where we presented the work, and, you know, they want to come present, I told, maybe later on this year or something. And so we'll see how that goes. But the point is that here's a couple who really... Everything was set. Raised their family. Got a place, you know, a good job. And all of a sudden, God said, I want you to give it all up and go on the mission field. Now, I didn't ask him. I didn't think I needed to. But I'll guarantee you at some point, he probably thought to himself, really? But then he remembered, I guarantee it. And I didn't ask him. But if he's standing right here, I'd say, tell him. He'd say, you know, I was a little wondersome about that, but then I remembered how good God's been to us for all these many years, and I figure he's good enough now, he can be good enough tomorrow. Abraham said, God's been good to me. I mean, listen, you know what Abraham thought? I have met Jesus in the flesh. He did. Remember when the angel of the Lord came to him to tell him about Isaac? You know who the angel of the Lord is? That's Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. That's called a Christophany. Yeah. Abraham saw Jesus before he was born. Guess what? And it's the same angel that stopped, it's the same Lord that stopped him from killing Isaac. Because it says the angel of the Lord said. How about that? Now, if God would be so involved in his life as to verbally speak to him and let him see him in a body, then I reckon he didn't have much trouble saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Now, anybody here seen Jesus since he's left? And you're not going to. Not till he comes back. You're not going to. Well, I saw him in a dream. No, you didn't. You might have saw in a dream what you thought he looked like. And I'm not saying that God cannot do that, but he doesn't do that. And you know why? He said in Corinthians, he said, when that which is perfect has come, that which is done in part is done away with. God doesn't have to deal like he did in the Old Testament because now we got the Bible. Amen. Come on now. Don't. I'm losing some of you. Don't jump off the ship now. I didn't say God can do whatever he wants, but if God ever deals with you personally and profoundly, it'll be through the Word of God and the voice of God in your soul. I was doing good till right there. You hear all these folks talk about, anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. I'm telling you, when the first time you see Jesus will be the last time you see, and I mean the first time will be the one time forever. Just trust me. You're not going to die and go see him, and then he's going to send you back, and you're going to start over again. When you see him, you'll be seeing him for the first and only time forever. Amen. That's right. All right. Well, there's the doctrinal lesson for tonight. Real quickly, I got about 5 minutes now because we got to pray. Number one, absolute surrender. Now, listen to this, and I'll give you these quickly. Involves perception. You cannot surrender to God unless you hear him. Just like you can't obey your parents if you don't hear them. Well, I want you to take out the trash. Take out the trash. Take out the trash. Did you take out the trash? I thought I told you to take out the trash. How come the trash ain't out yet? You know what's wrong? Somebody is not paying attention. And here's what they say. I meant to. Well, you know what the old adage is? The road to hell is paved with good intention. Well, I was going to get saved, but going to and doing it's two different things, isn't it? Abraham could have said, Lord, I'll get on that first thing Monday. But he heard what God said. The Bible said that God called to Abraham. He heard God. And perception involves a relationship. If I don't know someone and they're talking about something and I don't know them and they're talking about something personal, I'm not going to pick up on that. I'll hear them. I will hear. I'll listen. But I'm not hearing. You understand what I mean? If you don't believe what I'm telling you tonight, you're sitting right here listening to me because you don't have a choice. But the question is, are you hearing what I'm saying? Abraham heard God. Abraham, he said, here am I, without fail. So if you're going to surrender to God, you've got to have a perception of, you've got to know him when he's talking to you. How do you do that? The Word of God, prayer, and you'll know. Listen, when God talks to a child of God, you'll know it. I'm telling you, you'll know it. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know when God calls you to preach? When he does, you'll know it. I was not looking to be a preacher. But the day that God started dealing, and the Sunday that God said to me, I want you to go to the altar and surrender to preach, I knew it was God just as sure as I was sitting there, tapped my mother on the leg and said, God just called me to preach. And down the altar I went, and I've been doing it ever since. I knew. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know it was God? I just did. Abraham knew it was God because he had a relationship with God. He had a readiness. He was always prepared to do whatever God wanted. If you're going to be surrendered, that means you've got to be ready to do whatever God tells you. Before he tells you, not after you've thought about it and worked it all out and said, you know, the Bahamas ain't so bad after all. Somebody said, boy, I'd like to be a missionary in Hawaii. Not today you wouldn't. With that hurricane beating down, you know, they've only had 3 hurricanes in the history of the state of Hawaii. And this one's a Category 5 going right over the top of it. I guarantee there's missionaries there now saying, boy, I wish I was back home. Yeah. You got to be ready. And perceiving God demands a revelation. Because God said, here's what God will never call you to do something without giving you exact instructions. God's not going to call you to the mission field and say, now just spin a wheel and wherever you wind up. I wouldn't even consider a missionary who said to me, God's called me to the mission field, but I'm not sure where I'm going, so I'm going to raise a deputation until I figure out where. I'm not going to do that. Because if God calls you to do something, when God called me to preach, he told me instantaneously. I'm telling you, I was there. When God called me to preach, he put in my heart instantaneously to be a pastor. Not to be a youth pastor or an evangelist. And he's never changed his mind with me about it. Now, I've done some youth work and I've gone on mission trips, but never in the call of God, I am doing what God has called me. What God called me to do when I was 19 years old, and He's never changed my mind. But I had to be ready. I had to be ready. Had to be ready. Then, listen, let me give you, absolute surrender involves preparation. Preparation, you got to be ready. His hands were prepared. When God called him to go, he went. He didn't waste any time. You know the worst thing you can do when God gives you instruction? Think about it. You start thinking about it, the devil will get in there and say, you don't really want to do that, do you? Yeah. You know what would have happened to Israel if they just stood and thought about when God parted the Red Sea and the Egyptians coming up behind them? If they'd have stood there and said, you know, I'm not sure I won't do this. They'd have died in Egypt. Not only were their hands prepared, their head was prepared. It took 3 days and nights to get where they were going for Abraham to think about what he was going to do. And praise God, in 3 days and nights, he didn't say, I'm not doing it. Just like Jesus didn't change his mind when he set his face towards Jerusalem. And then his heart was prepared. After all that, he said to his servants, me and the lad will come back. Will come back. Will come back. And they did. Let me give you the last one, then we'll get around the altar and pray. Absolute surrender involves, ready? Participation. It's great to have the perception, and it's great to have the preparation. Boy, I heard God, I'm ready to go, and just stand there. When I played baseball, I never struck out looking. I struck out a lot, but I didn't do it looking. Bless God, if he threw the ball up there, I was going to do my best to knock the bejeebers out of it. I'd miss it 30 feet. They'd throw it in the ground. I'd swing at it. Because I thought, they put a bat in my hand, and it wasn't for me to stand there and look pretty. Oh, yeah, but you get a walk, man. You can, yeah. Forget all that. I wasn't in it for that. I wasn't in it to go to the Hall of Fame. I was in it to hit dingers. Amen. And so they'd throw it up there, and I'd try my best to hit the bejeebers out of it. And I'd go back to the bench and say, struck out again, huh? Yeah, but I went down swinging. If God calls you to do something, don't stand there. Get in it. Give it a shot. Swing at it. You'll never know what you can do. And guess what? The 1 year, I got the little card at home. I thought, Judy might say, the little, one of the game scorecards. The Little League team gave me because I was the only one to hit a home run that year. Yeah, it had a little green star on it. It said, only home. Yeah, I struck out about 89 times, but the 90th time I hit it. And you know what? When you hit the ball over the fence and you run around there like you're Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth, you forget about them 89 strikeouts because everybody's going, woo! Yeah. Hey, you know what the devil will do? He'll either make you stand there or he'll remind you of your strikeouts. You just keep swinging. You participate because one day God's going to put one right down the middle and you're going to knock the cover off of it. And God's going to cheer for you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can't say well done if you didn't do anything. So participation is personal, it's profound, and it's powerful. Because when Abraham said, okay, God, I'm going to do it, it allowed God, and I wrote this down, and there's nothing, I don't mean anything, I'm trying to think of what the word is, but I wrote down on my notes, I said, when Abraham gave in and did what God said, it allowed God to flex his muscle. It allowed God to prove himself, to show himself. Because, buddy, I'm telling you, I believe in my heart, Abraham was on his way down. You know, when you make a movement and you pass the apex, it's kind of hard to stop after that. I play golf. I haven't played so long. And I play army golf, left, right, left, right, left. But I haven't played so long because it's getting too expensive to play and I don't have a lot of time. But I tell you, if you've ever played golf, you know when you get your backswing, when you get right here, you've got a split second to decide if you, and once you start, if you try to stop after you've started, you'll throw every joint in your body out of whack. Isn't that right, Sheldon? Because the whole idea is what they call club head speed. You got to hit that little white ball in that cow pasture, you know. And you start to swing down, and your body, all the muscles of your body have been, everything's going. Hey, you know what? I am committed. I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm committed. And if you do that and all of a sudden you try to stop, I'm telling you, you'll sprain your brain. You'll sprain everything. Because your body is now making a movement that it cannot just stop on its by itself. Hey, when God starts dealing with you, don't try to stop Him. You'll sprain yourself spiritually. Hey, once you get involved, you're teaching Sunday school, you're singing in the choir, you're singing a special, man, whatever, if you're handing out tracts, don't quit. Don't stop in the middle because you're going to sprain something. And then you'll be out of action for a while. And I don't want to be out of action. I want to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Amen. So I'm ending early, or at least tonight, this month of stewardship on the idea of not just surrender, but absolute surrender. Absolute perception, preparation, and participation. That's how you prove God in surrender. Father, we love you tonight.
Thank you for this time together. And so, Lord, I pray now that you'll bless the moment of invitation, then our little bit of prayer time around the altar. It's 8 o'clock, and got to be done and get these folks home. I want to try to keep my promise. But Father, I hope and pray that what I gave them tonight, although simple, perhaps something that we'll all recognize is most important to us, and that is, if God's going to use us, and He said He would, He didn't save us not to. So now that He wants to use us, we got to say, Lord, I'll do whatever You want, and whatever it is, I'll do it and keep doing it. I won't stop. I won't quit. I won't stop in the middle. I won't slam on the brakes. I'll keep swinging. I may not do it the best. I may not be recognized as one of the best, but at least I'm going to go down swinging. Help us, Lord, here at Anchor to keep swinging. Send us folks here that want to get in the game and participate and keep swinging. God, we've got a town to win, and we don't have much time left. So we got to be busy. Get in the game. We've got to surrender ourselves totally, absolutely, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the moment of invitation and the prayer time at the altar in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.